And the one we've been reading is the History of Bees. I'm not going to pronounce the name. What's the name of the author?
Well, I think it's Maya Lunday.
But okay, that sounds as if you know what you're talking about. You. So well done, Maya Lunday. And it starts amazingly because it sort of paints this picture of a world where there are no bees, and so workers have to go out and painstakingly put pollen on all of the plants.
That's right. Yes,
really hooked me in at that point.
Yes, and it's a very clever book, I think, because actually we've got the story in three different perspectives. And even though they seem very different, you've got these three individuals telling different stories from different periods of history. You're not lost. You're not thinking, well, this is three short stories, effectively. They're linked, but in a very subtle way. And it's only as you get further and further into the book that you discover how they're linked and why we need to see the whole story in unity, in the context of having all three of them together. So it's William, who's in the 19th century, and he's in England, and he's a seed merchant, and he wants to become famous for his family to get wealth and success, and he thinks he's going to create a new beehive. And then you've got George, and he's living sort of in present day America. It's in 2007, and he's struggling against the modern farming methods to succeed with his business of honey and keeping bees, and he wants his son to follow in the tradition for the family, but it doesn't look good. And then we've got this third strand, which we're introduced to right at the beginning, which is what you mentioned, which is a lady called Tao, I think you say it, and she's in China, and she's in the future. She's in 2098, and this is a world where there are no bees. And I found her the most compelling story, actually, and I suppose that is the point of the book, because we need to take on board what's happened in the past so that we don't have her future, and the present day as well. So I think that is what's so clever about the book, is that you're very subtly led to this point where it's a very bleak picture, and her story, as I've said, is interwoven all through the book. And we find out that, in fact, it's not only that she's having to paint pollen to take the place of bees, but in her very rare moment of relaxation, she's out with the family, her husband and her son, and a tragic incident happens where her son is injured or damaged in some way, and he's taken away by the authorities, seemingly to help him recover. But she can't find out what's happened to him or where he is. And it's her plight that we're constantly wanting to find out what's happened to him. How's she going to find out? What's she going to do? And that's what's leading us all the way through the book. And then we've got this culmination at the end where, in trying to find out what's happening to her son, she's reading the history of bees, and she's looking back and finding out what happened, why her world has got no bees. And that's how something it all links together. I can't tell you anymore because you're going to read it.
I've got about a third of the way, typically, isn't it? I haven't managed to finish the book as well, but it really did hook me in, and I'm glad you sort of explained, because I knew there were three different chapters and three different people, but I hadn't got far enough yet to totally understand how they all link together.
Yes, and I think sometimes that can be really irritating, because you get gripped by one particular story, one narrator,
and you want to go back to it.
Yes, you don't want any interruption. But actually, she's very clever, because these are really quite short chapters, and we've got those three characters, and she's very constant in introducing us to them each time, and you are engaged, you are completely lost in their world. As soon as you know where you're at, you're not lost in another perspective,
but you're involved in each one.
Yes,
once you're in that life, you don't want to leave it in a way, do you?
That's right.
It's very clever. It is a clever book, and it did really well when it was out, didn't it? I mean, it's her first book, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think she's written some children's books, but she's Norwegian, and this is her first book for adults. So yes, I think it's a great book. And that at the end of the book as well, she's got some acknowledgements of how she's researched the book. So she's mentioning various people that she's interviewed and spoken to, but she also lists a number of books. And I think that's another indication of how good this story is, because you do actually want to read more. You do want to find out more about bees and how fascinating as creatures they are, and how much we are dependent on them, and how our whole environment is linked into them keeping healthy and well, and how we need to protect them.
I was going to say, if they don't pollinate stuff, we don't get food, basically,
do
we?
And
that's pretty much the end of the world, or carbon dioxide in all sorts of ways, as you say.
Yeah.
So, brilliant book. Did you get any feedback? I haven't had anyone tweet me or Facebook me or whatever.
Not this time, no.
So, well, let us know. Have you read it? And if you haven't read it, then it comes highly recommended from you?
Yes. Oh, yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
The History of Bees, Maya Lunde, is the book that we should have read and that, fortunately for us, Catherine did read.